Welcome to today's Let's Talk Knoxville. I'm Nathan Sage. On today's program, we speak to State Senator Amy Sinclair as Governor Kim Reynolds recently extended the closure of the Iowa legislature due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Just recently, another extension of social distancing closures throughout the state continues. The legislative session again closed until the end of April now, just like schools and everything else seem to be extended. Senator Sinclair, I guess when it comes to the situation, obviously this is very unprecedented. It is new to everybody, and it's going to change our culture in ways we haven't even thought of. But when it comes to this situation right now and the way the legislative session is set up, what kind of changes and what kind of things are you guys going to continue to have to push back and continue to have to work on to get back to work whenever this actually does open up?
Sure, and I guess that's the most important thing is that we really haven't stopped working. I have been in nearly constant communication with the staff that I work with on education issues, and we are working closely with my counterparts in the House to make sure that we have, when we are able to go back, hopefully at the beginning of May, when we are able to go back, we have our list of priorities that jointly we've already determined are the things that need to move forward to get on the governor's desk. So we aren't stopping that process of winnowing what's important to Iowans when it comes to our committee work. And I think all committees are doing that currently. So those folks who are chairing budget committees, they're looking at the numbers that are out there. So I will be honest, that budget process is going to look a lot different this year than it has in the past, simply because with essentially the whole economy shut down for at a minimum 45 days here, there are just so many unknowns, so many variables that come into play with the current fiscal year, but also with the upcoming budget that we're working on. But that work continues to go on, even though we're not able to do it in person. We are able to do that electronically, either through email or Zoom or through just general phone calls like you and I here are doing this interview, just so we can make the work continue to happen. We want to get the work done for Iowans, even though we're in a time of crisis.
Now, right now, obviously, a very big time with schools being also impacted primarily by this whole thing, and Governor coming out, obviously, giving options to superintendents going forward. As the chair of the Education Committee, I know you've worked a lot with schools. Obviously, you have family members involved in schools, the teachers and stuff like that. Take us through what it means to, one, have that option for superintendents to be able to make the choices for their district individually, and two, you know, As a parent, you know, what are you looking at as your options to try and make sure your kids' education continues?
Right. So as chair of the Education Committee, I think we need to take the governor's proclamation yesterday, that extension of a closure, and look at it for what it is. First of all, it gives school districts, exactly as you say, it gives them the option to choose whether to start continuous learning remotely or whether to add those days on at the end of a year that we truly are still in flux with when that actually is going to resume. So districts can choose to do nothing, in which case they're going to have to make these days and hours up at the end of this school year, or they can choose to submit a continuous learning plan to the Department of Education by April 10th so that they define whether they're doing voluntary or mandatory continuous learning. If they do the voluntary continuous learning, that work doesn't necessarily count as credit for a student. If they do the required continuous learning, then they can take attendance and they can grade assignments and they can do a lot of that work remotely, whether via the internet or via written packet. But they have a couple of options to do, and they need to do what's best for their students. I know a lot of grade levels there in Knoxville have one-to-one devices, which would make some online required continuous learning make sense maybe for those upper grades. But sometimes it's hard to do remote learning for say, a six-year-old who doesn't necessarily have the same focus or the same capabilities to self-educate that those older students do. So it's just really going to depend on first, the school district's capabilities to offer it from a technology standpoint, and second, the capabilities of the students as seen fit by the board members, the teachers, and the administrators of the school district. And I'm appreciative that the governor has given districts options on how they roll that out. The other option is to do nothing at this time, and that will mean adding days and hours onto the end of the school year.
Now, when it comes to that and it comes to the whole education thing, obviously looking at it, a big part of it, which I've heard here around this area in Marion County specifically, has been the students that don't have the internet access. That's the biggest problem. Schools are actually opening up and giving their Wi-Fi passwords out so people can go to parking lots and do stuff like that way. But when it comes to a legislative side of things, is there going to be any more? I don't know if that might be too broad of a question, but is there going to be, in your opinion, more talk about trying to get internet into those rural areas? I know that's been a discussion over years, but I think that's one thing that's going to, we talk about changing our culture after all this. I think that's one area that we're going to have to definitely focus on.
Well, clearly it was already a priority of the legislature and the governor. Last year, we pushed about $5 million into build out of broadband into rural areas specifically, but building out broadband is definitely a priority for everywhere across the state, from an educational standpoint to an economic standpoint to just a personal social connectedness standpoint. But that has been a priority of our governor and the legislature. We had planned to funnel another $15 million into that project this year. Now, clearly that's been put on hold just with the uncertainties within our budget, but it is still definitely a priority. And I think that the idea the school districts or other local governments are rolling out their Wi-Fi passwords and making that available to folks from parking lots, I think desperate times call for creative measures, and I would say that's just some really good work out of some local folks thinking creatively and outside the box to make sure that the people are still able to learn and work and live.
Well, Senator, I appreciate you speaking with us. I know it's been a whirlwind of, I'd say, can I just be honest, craziness with this whole pandemic. People have living lives they're not used to living and doing things they're not used to doing, but we will get through this as always. I appreciate you speaking with us, and hopefully we'll reach back out to you soon, and hopefully we'll have more updates as to what's going to happen with the legislative session and everything else going forward.
Absolutely. I'm ready to get back up there and get to work on behalf of the people of Senate District 14, but I want to do that as safely and as responsibly as possible. And so I can be patient and make sure I'm looking out for the well-being of my fellow citizens just like everyone else.
Thanks to State Senator Amy St. Clair for joining us on today's program. If you'd like to listen to today's program or past shows, go to KNIAKRLS.com and click podcast.